Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Kansas City-based jazz trumpeter Daniel Dismore. He's now fully woven into the Kansas City scene, and he opens up about the history and artistry of this town that he loves. He also opens up about his lifelong feeling of wanting to be a trumpeter, his jazz journey so far, COVID life, and the future ahead. Dig the story.
Thanks for taking a minute out. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
So let's start off here. I'm curious, before we get into, you know, kind of regular gigs and what you're doing on the Kansas City jazz scene, how did you do over this last few years of COVID with things kind of shutting down and being altered? How did you survive that period?
You know, it was a difficult time, don't get me wrong. But actually, and this isn't to diminish any of the pain that anyone felt during that season, but it was kind of a blessing in disguise. I was able to just take advantage of being able to step away from, you know, performing and the hustle and bustle of modern life, and just kind of get back to myself. Really worked in my favor to be able to come back to my center, you know what I'm saying?
I agree, yeah, and I think that's probably a part of this whole period that we went through, is that there were silver linings with everything, and, you know, I mean, I just, even the planet responding, you know, the canals in Venice clearing up, smog going away, you know, and those big and small moments, nature kind of had a chance to take a good breath in, so I definitely understand that. So what are you doing on the Kansas City scene these days? What regular gigs? How busy have you been? What's going on?
Yeah, it's been very busy. It's been very busy. I was, I've been playing a lot of gigs with a lot of different groups. A couple of the groups that I guess have been most prominent, been playing with Trevor Trillo. Trevor Trillo is a good friend of mine. We've played with each other on, like, just about any setting that you can find in Kansas City. We've played salsa, we played jazz big band, we played even cumbia. Yeah, he's my brother, and so we've been playing together in his project, doing his music, and been playing with Relativity Brass, which is a brass band kind of modeled after bands like the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, you know, just various gigs with a lot of different groups, big bands, salsa, some small ensemble stuff, jazz combos. I did recently just start my own project as well. So now I'm kind of still taking other gigs with other bands, but now I'm also stepping into the leadership role as well.
So let's go back in time here to get kind of an idea of your timeline. Where were you born and raised? How did the music and jazz gigs begin for you?
So I was born in Lawton, Oklahoma, actually, but I only lived there for 2 years. My father was in the military, so I moved every 3 to 4 years, lived all over the country. And I'm not entirely sure how jazz became a part of my life. You know, it's one of those funny things where I just always knew that I wanted to play trumpet. I'm not sure where that came from. And so I picked up the trumpet, and then somewhere along the line, I was introduced to jazz, probably through school. Once I realized what a vehicle for expression it was, then I really just fell in love with it, you know?
Who were some musicians in the beginning that you listened to that really blew you away?
Definitely Miles Davis. One of my first influences actually was Louis Armstrong, but I listened to a lot of different, like, you know, not just trumpet players. One of my primary influences and one of the artists that actually inspired me to go into music was Tupac, actually. Just feeling the gravity of what he was able to do through his art, and the ways that he also spoke into me, into my soul and my life, was a big inspiration for me to also pursue music and pursue art.
What was the first live jazz show that you ever saw in person that really blew you away?
One of the first ones that I remember, I saw the Airmen of Note, and this was when I was I was living in Manhattan, Kansas. And Airmen of Note came and performed at my school. Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just, like, you don't really know why it is that you gravitate towards something, or why it is that something clicks within you, but it just sparked this fire within me, just happened to...
Talk to me a little bit about your timeline here in Kansas City. When did you start playing gigs? How did you kind of get into the fold of the Kansas City scene?
So I moved here about 5 years ago, actually, interestingly enough. So it was one of those things where a negative leads to a positive. So actually, I came to Kansas City, and so I was playing on a BAC horn at that time. And there was my horn needed some repairs, some minor repairs. So I went to the BAC shop. Mike Corrigan heard me playing. He allowed me to try out some of his horns. So he heard me playing, and he's like, hey, I want you to come get lunch with me and Trevor Turla. I want you to meet Trevor Turla. And then Trevor was like, hey, I'm in this band. We're hosting the jam session at the Blue Room tonight. And so then I got in with that group and just kept on going to jam sessions and, you know, a call leads to a call, leads to a call.
What do you like the best about being a part of the Kansas City jazz scene? I mean, there's so many things that I hear as far as it being such a great community, open and welcoming. What is it for you that you love the best about this scene here?
I would agree. It's definitely the community. Definitely the community. The community is what makes the scene. The fact that everybody kind of supports each other. Everybody, for the most part, you know, people want the other musicians to succeed. I feel like there's a really good spirit here. Like, there's not a whole lot of ego, you know. Feels like everybody accepts everybody where they're at, and we all kind of take care of each other and help to guide each other to try to become better, because we know that as one of us gets better, all of us are going to get better. As one part of the scene succeeds, then it's going to take the rest of the scene upwards.
So who have been mentors for you or inspirations that really kind of helped guide you to where you're at and who you are?
Wayne Goins was my professor when I went to Kansas State University. And he was my professor there, and he was a big influence on my life, musically and also just personally. And then, you know, I learn from everybody. Like, I learn from everybody that I'm around, especially a lot of the older musicians. Just seeing how they move and how they conduct themselves has been a big influence. You know, people like Jason Goodell and DeAndre Manny, that I really take note of, you know, how they conduct themselves and how they treat the music. And I've been blessed to have many conversations with them as well, just about music and about life.
Talk to me a little bit about this city, Kansas City. What do you like the best about just the city in itself, Kansas City?
I like the integration of the arts into everything. You know, it's not perfect, but, you know, there's things like the fact that there's murals everywhere. Like, there's those more apparent examples of the arts being integrated into the community. But then, you know, there's also music everywhere. You have things like the Nelson Atkins Museum, which they were very intentional of making that museum free to the public, so that it's accessible to people. There's just a really down-to-earth, very open vibe about this city.
What would be a dream gig for you? You know, I this question kind of came out of me being down on 18 and Vine and thinking about the old days of how many shows and gigs were going on. But in your life, if you could go back in time and see anybody perform live, who are you going to see? Where are you going to go?
I would want to go back, actually. I want to see Buddy Bolden. Just because I want to be there in the moment when, like, jazz music, as we know it, was first being created. Like, I would want to be in that atmosphere. I would want to be able to register, like, just how groundbreaking what he was doing was like, I would want to be in that room when it's not like, all of a sudden, oh, like, what, this guy's doing something completely new. Like, this is like nothing that we've ever heard before. Like, I would want to be there, at the initiation of this movement, or what we herald as the initiation of this movement that we call jazz.
So what is it that you like the best about being a professional musician?
Just being able to touch people. Being able to touch people in a positive manner. Being able to bring them something that lifts up their day, lifts up their spirits and their life.
So, you know, now that, you know, COVID restrictions have eased, there's more live music. What are you noticing about the way crowds interact with live music these days? Is it different?
I don't think so, actually. I think we're kind of getting back to the way it was before. I think there was, like, initially when we started opening back up, there was some hesitation, and people were still a little more cautious about being around other people and being in crowds. And I think there is still, I think people still are being careful. But I haven't noticed too big of a change from how it was to how it is now.
What would be your hope for people that come back to music that they realize about the power of live music?
That it is an experience that you can't have listening to a recording or even listening to a DJ. No disrespect to DJs, and that's also in a way a form of live music. But yeah, just realizing that live music is an experience that you have to be there in the moment to have if you want to get everything that there is about music, everything that there is that music has to offer. You have to be there in the moment when it's being created, because after it's put on wax, after it's put in a physical form, then the experience is different. Like, everything that the musicians experienced in the moment, and everything that was released into the atmosphere in the recording studio, like, you can't tap into that anymore when the recording is now in a physical or a digital form. Like, I would want people to be able to recognize, and hopefully us musicians can deliver, that there's something special to be tapped into that you can only tap into when you're there in the moment, as the creation is happening in real time.
So why do you love jazz?
I love jazz because of what it represents, a part of it. And also, as I said before, like, it's a vehicle for expression. It's a great vehicle for expression that not many other art forms are able to tap into.
So everyone has a perception of you, an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans. But ultimately, you live your life. You have a perception of you. Who do you think you are?
Man, I'm still trying to figure that out, to be honest. But I'm also realizing that that's a lifelong search. Like, I think that we're always discovering new parts of ourselves and also always shedding parts of ourselves. You know, it's just nature. Like, everything in nature is always going through the process of birth, life, death, and rebirth. Like, the tree at one point, you know, it was an acorn, and then a sapling, and then it kept growing and kept growing and kept...
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Oklahoma, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Daniel for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. And for all things Joe Domino, go to JoeDomino.com. And there you can kick in via Patreon or PayPal. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.